Bounce chicka bounce bounce. I'm Jamie Waxman, and you're listening to a very stuffy edition of Playgirl's Sex Pod here on PlaygirlTV.com or whatever podcast network you've found me on. I feel very stuffed up this week, and I think you can hear that in my voice a little bit. I've been fighting a cold for over a week now, and I believe it's finally blossomed or budded. You know, I don't use the word budded all that often, and I'm spelling it B-U-D-D-E-D, but I'm often reminded of the word when I think back to prepubescent years or when I was just actually about to start puberty, and my older male doctor set me aside to tell me that my breasts would bud. And it was such a weird word to use for me to, or a weird word for me to hear in reference to boobs. But I once in a while get the urge to use the word bud in any form. And I don't think budded is actually a word at all, but it's the word I like to use because it just reminds me of a time when my breasts were about to blossom. There's another good word. So much to talk about since last time. Before anything, I must give props to Regina Lynn over at Wired.com. If you did not get to see an article she wrote, I'd say it was a week ago. Oh, it was February 10th. So it was just a few days ago, 10 days ago at this point, maybe 11 days. I've lost track of time. She did a beautiful piece on Playgirl TV, and I'll just read the bit of it that she wrote about us, because why not? And I'm in it as well. Then just before Christmas, Playgirl columnist Jamie Waxman, that's me, in case you're tuning in for the first time and have no idea who I am or what you're listening to. I am Jamie Waxman, a writer, sex educator, sex explorer. I happen to have a lot of connections with Playgirl and Playgirl TV. Anyway, I sent her, so she wrote, sent me a DVD containing several erotic vignettes from Playgirl TV. I inserted it into my DVD player and sprawled out on the couch with the remote, intending to skip around and see what this porn for women had to offer. I expected soft focus, lots of kissing, and camera angles designed to protect me from seeing much cock. But instead, I got sex. As you might expect, the stories emphasize female pleasure and pay attention to audio and visual details, costumes, props, settings, music, moans. Each vignette features female voiceover talent narrating the story while the performers act it out. One scene involves a 19th century London prostitute and her young noble John. Another brings two modern New Yorkers together at a bus stop on a rainy day. Best of all, the camera pays homage to the male bodies. Shoulders, bellies, hips, bones, thighs, and yay, cocks. The emphasis on facial expression and body language goes beyond standard male-oriented fare, but no one pretends this is a hearts and flowers romance either. And it was hot. Playgirl does not shy away from sex. This is not porn sanitized or dumbed down for women. But it was certainly not the hardcore that I usually turn into when I'm in the mood for porn. So, I thought that was a really great plug for us over at PlaygirlTV.com, because Playgirl does offer a type of adult entertainment that you can't find almost anywhere else. And it's available on demand across the United States in places like Atlanta, Tucson, Dallas, Philadelphia, and the New York tri-state area, which happens to be where I'm broadcasting out of. But it's also available overseas at Erotic Media Germany, Sky Brazil, and Main Event in Australia. And when you're looking for Playgirl TV, what you need to do is go to the video on demand section of your local cable provider, and usually there is adult content there. Playgirl TV will be under For Her or For Couples, perhaps, but that's where you'll be able to find the Playgirl TV adult content. Okay, now, moving right along, I happened to see Brokeback Mountain this weekend and just wanted to comment on it a little bit. It's been getting a lot of press about being a gay cowboys in love story. And the truth of it is, that's not really what it is at all. I found it to be a bit long and at times a little bit over, you know, drawn with a lot of extras that didn't need to be. But aside from my little commentary there, I really did find it was a beautiful story about love and romance and about a relationship that wasn't allowed to be. Now, here's where I'm going to debate the whole gay cowboy in love thing, is they're not gay because both men also like having sex with women. So although there are studies that recently came out that said men cannot be bisexual, I say bullshit. And sorry for cursing. Anyway, I really don't agree with this statement because women can be bisexual. So yeah, men can too. Anyway, this is more of a bisexual cowboys in love story. Now, I'm not saying that if it hadn't worked out for these two cowboys that they wouldn't have had this fantastic relationship and be considered gay men. But the truth of the matter is that they do have other relationships in the movie with women and perhaps with other men. But being with both sexes makes, well, if you were going to label yourself, which you don't have to do, but it would be something called bisexual. I've always had an issue with this. My first paper for my master's in human sexuality education was called The Bisexual Agenda, because I've always thought that bisexuality was treated as a very mild form of just experimentation. It's often dismissed. And really, there is a good group of people out there who have had experiences with members of both sexes and have enjoyed them both and maybe have fallen in love with members of both sexes. And I thought what this movie really showed was that love wasn't about a gender. Love was about a feeling you experience with a certain person, regardless of if they are the same or opposite sex as you are. And that even if you have always only considered one sex in your romantic relationships, that there was an open possibility to another sex being, you know, a person of the same sex or the opposite sex, depending on how you grew up and what you grew up with, your tastes, really turning you on and, you know, allowing you to open up and explore yourself in other ways. And that's really an important part of what the movie brings about. It might not be that one of the lead characters, that the Heath Ledger character, could really deal with the fact that one of his loves was a man, if not his greatest love, but it was more that he had to deal with the fact, which it was not dealt with in the movie, that he could potentially have feelings for men and women, and that this was okay. And I almost wish that this movie would open up these discussions with groups of men and women around the country to talk about the idea that sexuality is fluid and that over time we can change our sexuality, our preferences. We can change our hair color. We can change our jobs. We can change our taste in music, our taste in food, our diets, our weight, you know, where we live. We're allowed to change all these things in our lives. But for some reason, one of the things that we are innately born with, which is a sexuality, because we don't learn to be sexual. There are photographs and documentation of fetuses masturbating in the womb. So this is something that is innate. This is inborn in us, this sexuality drive. And yet we're expected, and I can go off on a whole other tangent here, which maybe I will, which wasn't what I was planning on doing, but we are expected to only love one type of person for the rest of our life. And, you know, if we want to get into this tangent that I'm about to go on with me, if you want to join the ride, then we can go further and say we are expected to only be with one person for the rest of our lives at some point when we commit to the big M word, which there's two big M words there, marriage and monogamy. Now, I'm not against either one of them. And I think if you're in a relationship and you don't feel the need to be with another person, then don't be. But the truth of the matter is that everything about us changes over time. We're living longer. We are going to be attracted to people outside of our primary partner, and we are going to want to experience and explore and everything else that comes along with growing up. And part of that experimentation, exploration, experience has to do with our sexuality. So why are we suppressing that part of us because we've found one person that we really click with and even want to grow with and don't want to leave necessarily? But why are we limiting ourselves because there's one person that can't can't and will never be everything for us. No matter how hard we try, we're never going to be with one person that does it all. And we shouldn't try to make one person do it all for us, because that's impossible. So really, what are we striving for there? Okay, so coming back a little bit over here, marriage and monogamy. These are two words that are instilled in us as in us, and I'm talking here in the United States, if you're listening overseas, but I have a feeling even overseas, it's probably been instilled in you in some way as well. And I might have said installed before, but just pretend I said instilled. These values about marriage and monogamy have been instilled in us from birth, for the most part, if we grew up in maybe a typical 2.2 child household in the middle of suburbia. These values have been instilled in us. We have been told that we are going to meet the one person, preferably of the opposite sex of us, that we are going to love and cherish and want to be loyal to for the rest of our lives. Now, here's the big difference between marriage and a relationship, perhaps. When you commit to marriage, you eventually don't only commit to love, you commit to this loyalty, this promise that you aren't going to leave this person. But what if your feelings about them change? Then you're committed to staying in this relationship because you made a vow in front of a government to allow the government to recognize a union. So all of a sudden, you're going to stay involved with somebody because you've become loyal to them. I think this is where a lot of marriages start to fall apart, because people's relationships change over time, whether it's because, you know, we've just evolved in different directions. Children come in and make things a little bit more difficult or interesting, perhaps. But there are lots of reasons our relationships change over the years. And we've committed to this marriage, but we're saying to our partners more and more, and I'm using a we as a general term here, we're saying to our partners more and more, we used to hold hands. You used to tell me you loved me every night. We used to cuddle in bed. I miss all of this. Why aren't we doing it anymore? And we start to resent our partners for what they once were but aren't anymore. And then we're in this situation where, because we've now agreed to this marriage, we don't want to change anything, but we're not happy. Now, I'm not saying you have to leave the marriage to be happy. I'm saying that you just have to make some possible, or relationship, forget marriage even, but you have to make some possible changes, which is, instead of telling your partner, we used to do these things, be aggressive and do them. People change, relationships ebb and flow. Life is either a roller coaster or it could be a Ferris wheel. I was going to say a merry-go-round. But it's either going up and down drastically, or you're doing a nice circular motion. But really, either way, life is constantly moving, and we have to kind of follow that wave. So if you're in a relationship right now where you're thinking, my partner and I used to be loving and affectionate, and people used to think this about us, and we used to have a great relationship and laugh, and we don't do this anymore. Instead of harping on the fact that what you don't do, find a way to make it what you do do. And really change the relationship for yourself. It's so ironic. This is completely not what I expected to talk about today. In fact, I really wanted to talk about, I've been doing so much reading on this whole wave of virginity after seeing the 40-year-old virgin. But I think I might save that for the next podcast. So you know what? I'm going to save that for the next podcast. So I'm Jamie Waxman, and this is Playgirls Sex Pod. And next podcast, which will be 2 weeks from now, I'm going to talk about virginity and what it means to you. Now, I'd love some feedback before I get to that topic. So maybe if you're listening to this and you want to email me, you can do so at iam@jamiewaxman.com. That's my website. I am at jamiewaxman.com, or through the Playgirl TV website as well at playgirltv.com. You can email me, but I want to know, what was losing your virginity like for you? Was it a big deal? Did it change your life? And do you think that we place too much emphasis on virgins here in the United States or in any country that you happen to live in? And what do you think, how do you think we should go about, you know, looking forward to the future and talking to young people or even older people like the 40-year-old virgin who have yet to engage in sex? And how do we approach, you know, discussing sexuality? Because I think we do it all wrong here in the United States. But like I said, that's discussion for another week. So much to talk about always. But yeah, I'm really, you know, been doing a lot of thinking about this whole relationship thing, having just moved in with my partner for the first time and now having committed to a year lease, which is still a big deal because that's some sort of commitment. I want to make sure that my relationship works based on the fact that I love and mutually respect my partner and not that I feel obligated to be here. Now, I don't feel obligated to be here in this relationship, in this apartment where I happen to be broadcasting from right now. I feel that I'm here because of love, but I don't want my relationship to get tainted because of the marriage word or the monogamy word if these things are to come about. Now, my partner and I happen to be monogamous right now, and that's great, and I love this, and I don't really imagine wanting this to change for a really long time. But that's only because I'm in this relationship and still figuring things out. Now, I say all of this and now I'm going to throw it all out there and, you know, throw it all out to the wind. But in a few years or if, you know, whenever, when we have become very comfortable in our relationship, we may need to open things up in order to keep our relationship experience alive and healthy. We might not. Maybe we'll find other things to do. That's all part of exploring as a couple together. And I'm not saying being in an open relationship is for everybody because it's not. And I'm not saying it's for nobody because it is. But I am saying that it's just about figuring things out, and we should not limit our sexuality, our relationships, because of what we have been in the past. We should not say that we are heterosexual if maybe we're open to the idea of having a homosexual experience or we have had one. I don't want to say that, you know, we are in a monogamous relationship forever when that can change as well. There's so much possibility out there, and we have potential in everything else we do. So let's keep potential in love, really, in relationships, in sex. Let's keep our opportunities alive and healthy and allow ourselves to understand that as human beings, one of the things we are and do is sexual. We are sexual. We do sexual things, whether alone, together, in groups, whatever it is. But this is who we are. And this does not make us a bad person. This does not categorize us as a gay cowboy when in fact we're bisexual or something like that. Whew. I feel like I haven't really breathed in a long time. And since I feel a little delirious from all this coldness, I'm not so sure. And breathing, it's very important. No matter what you do, sex or not, no sex. So just keep that in mind next time you're with somebody you love, that you have unlimited potential in your own relationships. And that being said, I hope everybody has had a wonderful few weeks. I know it's been kind of mad, crazy, busy, cruel, beautiful, and extra orgasmic all packed into one. How's that? And I will be back again in 2 weeks. I'm Jamie Waxman, although I am thinking about starting some other podcasts because I don't like to keep my mouth shut for all that long. I'm Jamie Waxman. This is Playgirl Sex Pod, broadcasting from PlaygirlTV.com. That's my home base. And you can get Playgirl TV on demand across the United States in places like Portland and Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio, Denver and Sacramento, and across the world on places like Rouge TV in Turkey and Canal Plus in Sweden. I will be back again in 2 weeks talking about virginity, as long as nothing more urgent comes up before then. But no, really, I want to talk about virginity, and I want to hear what you have to say about your virginity. I will read stories on the next podcast if they do come in. So please email me and check out my website at jamiewaxman.com. That's JAMIEWAXMAN.com. For more information on Playgirl TV, please log on to playgirltv.com. And if you happen to hear a One Hot Minute across the country on radio stations on any Clear Channel network, yes, that's me. Until next time, I'll stop promoting myself now. Please come again and again and... Oh, that was kind of weird. Again.